Coming up at 4:30 here in Toronto. It's Overdrive on TSN 1050. Gord Miller singing with Dave Festchuk. Our leader, Brian Hayes, will phone in just after 6 because Brian has been almost literally exploding at home since the Kawhi news broke in the early hours of Saturday morning, Friday evening.
I can't wait to hear Hayes unload all he has to say.
This always happens to him.
Yes.
Whenever he goes on vacation, something enormous happens.
Well, at least he, you know, it didn't happen like mid-overdrive when he happened to be away, which has happened in the past, right?
That's happened too.
Yes.
On the line with us from Los Angeles is Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider. Ramona, thanks for joining us.
You got it, guys. I know this is a kind of a weird day, huh?
It is. I'm sure a weird day down there, too. I guess we'd call it an earthquake in the NBA, but that would be a poor choice of words given where you're living.
Yeah.
but your reporting throughout the week was really interesting. And then what you wrote a column on ESPN's website today about how this all went down. And take us through, starting last Monday from Doc Rivers' house in Malibu, okay, through a meeting in Westlake, how this all went down.
Well, I think it even starts before that, right? Even before free agency, when Kawhi Leonard reaches out to Kevin Durant and asks him, you know, it was kind of on the eve of when Durant was, you know, really thinking about going to Brooklyn. He was, you know, was just literally waiting for the time when he could. The Warriors were going to make one last pitch at him, but it was, you know, it was Brooklyn. Like, they had that in their heads, him and Kyrie and DeAndre Jordan. And he gets a call from Kawhi Leonard. And it was described to me from multiple sources on this, is that it's really surprising. Like, Kevin didn't know what to make of it. Like, wow, Kawhi's calling me and asking if I want to go play with the Clippers with him. And I think that kind of is the first tip-off of where his head was at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, free agency hasn't even started yet. And he's calling Kevin Durant to see if they can go play together on the Clippers. It kind of sounds like that's what he was trying to make happen the whole time. And if we go all the way back to last year when he asked for a trade from San Antonio, he wanted to go to the L.A. teams. And it's, I think the only thing that threw all of us off really was, boy, he won the title for Toronto. He had a real brotherhood with the guys there. He had a great bond with the franchise, with Masai Ujiri and Allison Kechnig, Nick Nurse, like a lot of the players on the team. Like, that was all real. And yet, ultimately, when it comes down to where do you want to spend the next 4 or 5 years of your life, you have to fly above that, and you have to kind of think about your whole life. And it came down to, do you want to be with the Lakers or the Clippers? And, you know, look, the only guy who knows where he would have gone if the Clippers don't pull this trade off is Kawhi Leonard. He's really, I've heard subsequently, and I think, Bruce Arthur wrote a really nice column, with Raptors source saying they sort of felt like they were third place, once they met with him and they got the vibe. They felt like that in the last few days. It was just hard to make of it, because he was in Toronto. Like, so he goes and he meets the Clippers Monday night in Malibu. He switches the Laker meeting from El Segundo, which is down by LAX Airport, which is kind of like South Bay, if you know Los Angeles at all, and switches it to the Four Seasons Hotel up in Westlake Village, which is much closer to Malibu, but also much closer to where he was going to meet Paul George later that day.
Right.
So that's the real interesting timing on this.
So Ramona Shelburne is an ESPN NBA insider. Ramona, the meeting with Paul George is obviously important, and we just talked about this for a moment. At what point does it become dirty pool for an NBA player to talk to a player who's under contract to another team and say, get traded to come here and then I'll sign with them?
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are wrestling with, right? A lot of it's for fans who is on the team where he leaves, right? It's really upsetting, for who both teams leave, right? For Toronto, for Oklahoma City, for everyone involved there. But it's also like kind of the way of the world. So, like, on what level can you stop that? Like, players have always recruited players. Like, we all, and ultimately, you wait a long time to become a free agent. And Kawhi Leonard wanted to be a free agent. And so there's some level of, like, it is their lives. It is their careers. I mean, you and I get to choose where we work, And
but if we're under contract, I guess my point, Ramona, is if I wake up in Oklahoma City on Saturday morning and I'd say, why is my team getting wrecked because Kawhi Leonard wanted to sign with the Clippers?
I know. I agree with you. I think that's kind of rough for them to swallow. But I will say this. I do think Oklahoma City was thinking about, doing something like that before he even asked. I think that team had probably one more run in them. And, they were already kind of looking to make moves. Like, there had been a lot out there about Steven Adams and Andre Robertson and things like that. But I know that they had considered trading Westbrook and George before all this because of where that team sat. And they weren't going to get much for anybody else. Like, if you're going to change that team around, you kind of needed a big jolt. Like, Ed Paul was probably the one who had the most value anyway.
Right.
Still, I get where you're coming from. I mean, when you sign a contract, you should honor that contract. But I kind of think that we're in this day and age where, a lot of people break their contracts. People do it all the time, and it's not kosher. It's not the way, I like to live. You probably like to live, but this is a new thing in the NBA, and I know that there's a lot of owners, especially small market owners, who are not happy about it at all. And I think it does get addressed in a much more serious way in the new collective bargaining agreement, but also with the league. Like, they're having league meetings right now, and I expect that to be a main topic of conversation because it really wrecks your franchise. I mean, when players ask for a trade, yeah, they got, Anthony Davis got fined $50,000.
Walking around money,
okay,
for him. Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
Well, and Ramona, I guess that's the thing. It's like an incurable epidemic. I mean, Doc Rivers got fined $50,000 for fawningly, comparing Kawhi Leonard to Michael Jordan in a playoff preview TV show.
Yeah.
But, as somebody said to me, like, that's not a fine. The Clippers see that as an investment, right? And the investment seemed to pay off.
I think, but Ramona, correct me if I'm wrong. It's one thing to say that guy's a great player and to praise him. It's another to reach out to someone who's under contract to another team. LeBron did it.
Sure he did.
With Davis.
Oh, yeah.
We know that. At what point would the NBA say, sorry, that trade's voided?
I don't think we're anywhere close to that because I think the NBA doesn't want to get into the business of policing what players do. Text messaging and free speech and, whatever it is. But there is some discussion to be had about the whole issue because for the most part, this whole tampering thing is just, it's like having a good accountant on your taxes, it's like, it's kind of silly with this whole, everybody committing within, it's like pre-agency now, right? There's free agency and pre-agency. Like, I think we've got to switch the timing. Like, it needs to go before the draft and probably free agency should just start right after the season is over. Like, right after the finals, you should be just free to talk to anybody because we're just pretending that people don't talk. We're pretending that all this tampering doesn't go on, but it's like, this is the normal course of business, and this is why the league was trying to make such an example of Magic Johnson, which actually was a little ridiculous because, he got praised for saying Giannis was good.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember that was, he got fined for saying that, and I don't know. I mean, I think the only thing you can do is just try to be a little more realistic about the way of the world and stop trying to, selectively enforce things because then it just makes people mad when you don't enforce it.
Yeah, so Ramona, obviously, incredible turn of events in L.A. What does this do to the dynamic of the L.A. sports scene now that the Clippers are, if not, equals, they're certainly worthy rivals of the historically entrenched Lakers?
Oh, it's going to be real interesting because I think you can make an argument the Clippers are better in the sense that they have much more of a team around them. This is a playoff team last year, and they traded their young point guard who was, still a prospect. I think he's really good. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's a Canadian. You guys probably know him, right?
Oh yeah.
But he's a really good player. But he wasn't like a huge contributor for them last year. I mean, he had moments, right? But the guy, they'll miss Gallinari. He was one of their best players all year. But the rest of the team is still fairly intact. So I think you got to give them the edge, and just in terms of, you have a ready-made team. It's almost like when Kawhi joined the Raptors last year. That was a ready-made team for him to join. He just, they might be better. The only question is Paul George is probably going to miss the first couple weeks of the year. He's still recovering from shoulder surgery, so that's a thing, right? I mean, it takes a little while to blend everybody together. I don't know if you guys know Doc Rivers, but he's going to be amazing coaching this team. The idea of Doc with this amount of talent on a team that he already had playing a certain way, I'm excited to see it. The Lakers, I think the duo of LeBron and Anthony Davis might be like the best fit possible. Like, if you would just design a player for LeBron to play with, it might be Anthony Davis, just skill set wise. But they just have a hastily assembled team of guys on one plus one contracts that's going to have to spend the first quarter of the year trying to play together, trying to learn how to play together. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if you if you don't live in Los Angeles, you don't understand this. Like, as much as the Clippers are a huge story for what they were able to pull off, it is still a Laker town, and it always will be unless the Clippers win a title. And even if they win a title, they're 15 titles behind.
They'll always be the little brother. And when you would think about it, Ramona, yeah. Like, this is a team, Jack Nicholson used to buy season tickets to the Clippers, court sides.
Oh,
so we'd have tickets for the Laker games. He'd throw the rest away, like give them to charity.
Yeah. Just right. Give him away, yeah. The Clippers had a nice team a little while ago with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. That Lob City team was fun, and they sold out, every game for 5 years or something. But they don't have the deep penetration of fans like the Lakers do. Like the Lakers, they are the daily soap opera in Los Angeles.
Right.
That is, it doesn't matter if they're good or bad or whatever. It's like 365 days a year you talk about the Lakers.
So we can't wait for the Clippers to come here, obviously. But I bet you're looking forward to the first Clipper-Laker game.
Oh, my God. Yes and no. I mean, it is just going to be a circuit, like, all year. I mean, I probably will go to more Clipper games because the Laker games will just be insufferable circuses. You know, I mean, there's just going to be so much attention and so many people around that it'll be better to catch the Lakers on the road than it will be at Staples Center.
So, Ramona, I mean, as much as, I thought you had a great quote in your piece about Kawhi where somebody said, for a quiet guy, he's an incredible recruiter or something of that sort. But what is the peril of handing over your franchise decision-making, essentially, to Uncle Dennis and Kawhi in this instance? I mean, is there a downside risk here for the Clippers that this thing might not work out the way they hope it to?
Yeah, I mean, look, Paul George is coming off two major surgeries, and, you turn the franchise over to Kawhi and Uncle Dennis, who, didn't end well in San Antonio. I think they did okay in Toronto, but it was just more of a mercenary thing, right? Like, everybody was always on their best behavior around them and doing whatever they wanted because the Raptors were trying to keep them and make them feel, special and good. But at some level, like, you just kind of have to be like, you are just a player. You have to be treated on... as a fellow player, I've seen a lot of star treatment, right? Usually, like Kobe Bryant for years, I mean, Shaq and Kobe. Like, it's not unprecedented. Stars get a certain level of treatment, but that could go weird. That could go sideways.
Sure.
Yeah, of course it could. I like Doc Rivers' chances, though. I just I think he's a great guy at handling professional egos like that. I think he's going to be well equipped for that. I don't know. It's interesting with Kawhi because I think the thing that surprised me the most is like none of us really knew him. I mean, you had him for a whole year in Toronto. Do you feel like you knew him?
Not at all. Not a bit.
Even this, him being a recruiter, did you ever know he had that in him?
I can't imagine anyone looking down there. How many people look at their phone and seeing Kawhi Leonard's call display? I mean, there's only a handful of the world that can say they've done that.
Well, we knew Uncle Dennis could talk. Let's say that.
Put it that way. Ramona, thanks so much for joining us. Woj gets all the credit at ESPN, and he's obviously a legend, but your reporting on the story was terrific as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
That's Ramona Shelburne from ESPN in the epicenter. There's another earthquake reference of basketball now. I mean, it's going to be, right, the state of California.
It's going to be seismic.
Except in Sacramento.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sacramento. Yeah, they have a team still?
Remember, I went to see the Clippers at the LA Sports Arena. They used to call it the Clip Joint.
Oh, yeah.
Bad arena.
I could still conjure the smell of the urine in the stairwells.
Absolutely. On that note, still to come, we'll talk to Jack Armstrong, Scott Mitchell from the Baseball All-Star Game. Brian Hayes is calling in.
All right.
At 6 o'clock. Yeah, you're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050 and watching on TSN 4.